have so many nipples.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of At Your End Stuff. This is episode 21, and I am Morgan, and I'm joined by Jordan.
Hey, what's up?
And Mike.
I'm drafting. Shut up.
Listen, Mike. Yeah, we do have a motor draft going here, because it was kind of a little bit of a slow week. We definitely have some things to talk about. Most importantly, we're going to talk a lot about Magic Online. A lot of people are probably going to talk a lot about Magic Online. But we're going to save that for later, the back end of the podcast. We first want to do our traditional start off with talking about events that happened this week, starting off with Star City. And we also have a PTQ in our neck of the woods that we want to talk about, along with the Star City Games IQ. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well, and then do our traditional shout-outs near the end of the show. Let's take a look at the draft, see what's going on here.
We just cast a Porn Overlord for 5, and they conceded.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, we won our first game in our draft. We're playing, green-black stuff and stuff?
We got 2 Grey Merchants. That's pretty sweet.
2 Grey Merchants. We also got a Thoughtseize, so we kind of paid for the draft. So
who cares? You... There's some hashtags in there, right? Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. We'll go ahead. We'll touch base with that. Every now and again once we get started. So let's first kind of dive in. The real big standard tournament that happened this weekend was Star City Games Dallas Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting lists that popped up that was sort of kind of surprising. Something that I like to see is the white red aggro list seems to be the aggro list to beat these days, which I'm pretty okay with since we. So I have it owned online and have it in paper, so that's pretty cool. And those were the 7th and 6th place lists. Both very, very similar lists. Similar to what we've seen from last week and the first week of Standard and kind of throughout. I think the main thing that changes is the number of Ajani's in these lists. I think that one of the lists has 4 Ajani's and, no Spears, which seems, pretty bold, because I think one of the best foils to the white-red aggro list is Golgari Charm. And I would think... what I thought was going to happen is that they were going to move to a 2-2. So they're going to have 2 Spears, 2 Ajani. So that way you have that Spear, you can get it in there, hopefully protect you from Golgari Charm a little bit better. So it's really interesting to see... let me pull up the list. I want to attribute it to the correct player. I
think. Yeah, who's a little background?
Let me take a look here. My back button isn't working.
With the black, the blue green version you said?
No. The red white list. The other one. I think it was
Robert and Matt Toby and Robert Burney.
Yeah, I think it was Robert Burney that had the 4. Yeah, Robert Burney is the one that had the 4 Ajani's. No, I just can't agree with that. No Spear Heliod. In the 75, which blows my mind. I don't know how you would operate without that card, but maybe obviously I think I still think the 2/2 right, or at least the 3/1 that a lot of people have still been running. But moving forward past that, the entire tournament was won by the green red devotion list that's become fairly popular. That just gets big plays like things like Arbor Colossus, Pulacranos, things like that. And this list has kind of been around since the Pro Tour as well, so we see it finally take down a Pro Tour.
What was it?
Our opponent just disconnected. Oh, really? Moto's so good.
Oh, man. Well, we can't seem to be free rolling.
So we 1-0 now?
Well, he's still coming back. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. It's just like, your opponent is disconnected. I'm like, I guess we can always count on that.
How appropriate.
So it doesn't matter how good our deck is, sometimes our opponent will just not be there. It's fine.
Was our opponent Brian Gibbler?
Is that Motor's new tagline? Your opponent just can't be there.
or is Dave Freudian slip today Noto?
Yeah, we'll touch more on that.
Anyway, sorry.
So this is kind of the traditional list that we've seen through and throughout. I think this one has a Rook Tharmane, which I don't even know is a lovely list. They might have had 2, but this one just has 1. I kind of like that card.
I think it's interesting. Michael Jacobs' comment was on it. That's garbage.
Right.
So, because it had innovation, so that was probably the problem.
Yeah, it seems fine.
I like it. I like that card a lot. I played that card in Jund when it was standard, and that card just overperforms every time you play it. So definitely a good add.
I just got Hunt the Hunted.
Man, he had those sideboard cards.
By the way, guys, if you ever hear random cards that you don't think are standard cards, it's because Mike's winning in draft. That's what's happening.
No, I'm losing right now.
Yeah.
That was not...
Wait, I thought we were just winning that game.
Oh, well, he came back.
And then he... And then he played a bunch of stuff.
And then he Hunt the Hunted on my guy, and I carded inside. Yeah, I'll do that.
Alright.
Yeah, so I don't think a game two is going to go
Mike, real right. quick, what do you think about these deck lists, the Green Red Devotion list?
Yeah, the Green Red Devotion list is fine. I was still talking about the lists. I was going to say something about the White Red Aggro list, but you guys just moved on. So
okay, well, what do you want to say about the White Red Aggro list?
I think it's going on for Johnny's, because it's trying to just not draw people out. Like, flying a double strike is the game it wants to play.
Sure.
And, I mean, that's fine. People, yeah. You know, the Golgari Charm, like, it has been seen more, but it also, you know, sometimes you just look to dodge matchups, and it looks like they did a good job most of the day.
Apparently. I definitely can see that point. Like, I think somewhere around 2-3 is probably where you want to be at. 4 seems a bit much.
That's fair. I mean, when you ever have more, like, than one in your opener, you're probably not feeling great, and if you have 3, you're just like, well.
Yeah.
Though, exactly. You can have those awesome turns where you have just, like, 9 mana, and you're like a Johnny, flying double strike, Johnny, counter. Johnny, counter. What?
I mean, sure, you could live in Magic Christmas Land.
You don't live in Magic Christmas Land?
I don't.
I do often.
Well, yeah, we know you.
I live there. It's nice this time of year.
It's warm.
And then the second playlist that has sort of even cropped up on Magic Online is the Red White Devotion list. Now
creeped up. Is that a commentary on Magic Online speed? Or is that
no? It's just it's slowly becoming more popular online.
Not a funny joke.
honestly, I think lists like this are you know starting to become more popular online because A, they're relatively powerful. They play strong cards like Assemble Legion main deck and Hammer Perforos, which are very hard for control decks to deal with on a typical basis.
Yep.
You just have more of that in the sideboard. You also just can go big and like play a lot of things with Nykthos. So, and you just have a lot of like direct damage, and you have Boris Reckoners.
Aurelia's Fury is so sweet.
So, oh yeah, and this deck is a little cute. They do have the one of Aurelia's Fury.
I don't think it's cute. That card's insane with Nykthos.
Sure, I mean it allows you to generate enough mana.
Jolt for 10, like
yeah, and like you can't play any spells. Sure, it seems fun.
Yeah, no, I think that card's really been underplayed in its whole inception. People called it the new Bonfire.
Well, one Jerry Thompson I know was very, very high on it when it initially came out.
I think it's a good card. I mean, definitely in these aggro lists where, like, filter all your dudes.
Sure.
You know, at the very least.
And, like, so. It's something that I know Mike has talked about is playing, what is it, Clan Defiance?
Clan Defiance with War of Reckoners. I've tested it a couple times. The mana is just not great, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's
oh, man, it's so sweet when it works.
So, I mean, hopefully that might be something in the future when you will be at more Scrylands or something like that. The mana gets a little bit better. And then we have 3 control decks in the top 8 as well. I mean, the last thing about the Red-White Devotion list, I really think, like, it's something that's just going to be around.
Oh, for sure. For, I mean, for a while. Sure.
Now, the control decks, we had 2 blue-white lists and 1 Esper list. Now, I know a lot of people have been switching over to blue-white. In the meta that we have right now, just because it's a little bit better against the aggro matchup, because you're not taking pain, you know, with your lands, and you get to play things in the sideboard that help you a little bit better, that are, you know, easier to cast. Having Jordan here, he's been on Esper for quite a while. What do you think about the control lists that we see here?
There's some interesting things across some of the things in Min Trans list. He took 4th that I noticed. He kind of makes definitely a lot of concessions. Sorry, my list just blew up. My mom just texted me. Hi, Mom. All right. Yeah, he makes a lot of concessions to the aggro list, playing the Blood Barons of Viscopas in the main, playing the Devour Flush in the main.
And this is the Esper list.
Yeah, this is Min Trans Esper list. He wouldn't be able to play Blood Baron if he were blue white. So
I'm just clarifying for people.
Prismatic Prisms, I guess, would be his game. But plays 2 Thought Seasons in the main, so he's definitely just trying to take your threats. Gonna go for that I'll pay 2 life to save myself 8 kind of strategy.
Sure.
I like the adding of the Blood Barons to the main, especially in this. I mean, how insane did that have to be against these blue, against these white red aggros or these black, the blue green devotion lists? He's just gaining life and outracing them.
Sure, sure.
Max Teets's, you know, I'm sorry, Grant McGuffin's off of the heavily adapted Max Teets list. I like this list a lot as well. Ratchet Bomb back is really nice in a format full of 2 and 3 drops. If you can remember to end a turn it, you know. Celestial Fire, that's a good get-you card against those Blood Barons, against those Boar Trickers,
etc. Something I really kind of made me happy to see, seeing Standard play again. In Colin Chilbert's list in the sideboard, he has a 1-up Angel Serenity. Oh, man, that card. Can we just break that card again? Remember when it was awesome and we could reanimate it? And I just can't even play.
We could just, like, bathe in it.
I just miss it.
Yeah. Bathe is the word I wanted.
Yeah, I just miss it. I wish I could play it again. Oh, well.
Wow.
I'm just getting a little sentimental.
Nostalgic for the good old days.
I miss being degenerate. What can I say?
One of the things that's interesting is some of these lists are cutting Divination now in favor of more removal. And then the Sphinx's Revelations, which I thought was pretty interesting, because Divination smooths out your draws a ton.
We're flooding out, guys.
Are we dead?
We're at 3 and we're flooding out pretty hard. They are too.
Is this game
2 still?
Did we win the 1?
This is still game 2.
Okay, hold on here. Hold on. We just topped out our Goliath.
Okay, so we're fine. All right.
Anyway. We'll see. He might remove spells.
Well, anyways. What does the fox say?
Trouble.
So I
am ashamed of that. Please,
you should be.
Can we just cut this?
No. It's going in. You made the choice.
Yeah. No.
Well, then, I mean, otherwise, it seemed like this top 8 was much of the same. You know, you had like all these red-white devotions, all these red-white beatdown decks, and some control lists.
I said that there was a sweet tokens list, which was cool. But
yeah, well, there's a blue-green devotion list as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, like Kenny Farmer.
And this is like I really feel like this is just mono-blue splashing green. It's really what it is.
Oculus.
Yeah, you have Frodo Oculus, which is, you know, just, I think that's a concession to the aggro decks, like having a 1-3 that can get bigger is pretty nice. But you get Master Biomancer in the sideboard, guys. Come on, Master of Waves. Well, Master Biomancer, Master of Waves. My tokens are all huge! Come on, it's sweet.
I'm sure he got to do that
at least once or twice, and it felt great.
So good.
I was like, look up what this card does. Mm.
Master Biomancer?
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, it's costs a green, a blue, and 2 colorless for a 2/4. And each other creature you control enters the battlefield with a number of additional +1/+1 counters on it, equal to Master Biomancer's power, and as a mutant in addition to its other type. So it gets +1/+1 counters equal to Master Biomancer's power.
Difference. So yeah, so if you play Master Waves next, all of the tokens come to the battlefield with...
Is X1.
With two, they become
X2s. Yeah.
X2s, and then they get 1/1 from Master of Waves, so...
And that's nuts, because then you can kill the Master of Waves, and your tokens will die.
Correct.
We won.
Awesome.
Oh, good. So we are going to the fourth round? Second round? Of
second match.
Yeah. Round of 4, yeah.
So we progress. We get to the second round of our draft, so yay to the heroes here.
To the heroes.
Hail to the...
We are the champions.
Not yet.
Oh, the round of eight.
We're trying to get there. So let's move on to the ninth place list, the green white tokens list. So the list that just barely didn't make it. So close. So we have things like B2 Ghazi Guildmage showing up as a 2-of, and I think there's a third one on the side.
Right, sweet.
And then we have, you know, Voice of Resurgence, of course, he's in here. Advent of the Worm. And we also have, Sign of B2 Ghazi as well. So the good old bird maker. And we also have things like Lux on Spider just to help with early game, and then a 1-of Tristani. This looks very similar to like the green white aggro lists. It's just kind of attacking on a different token angle. You also have Call of the Conclave as another token maker. But very similar to the green white aggro lists. I always think Boonsader is kind of weird in these lists, but I guess he's fine.
He's pretty sweet to, like, so if you go end of turn, Advent, untap, and have the bestow for Boonsider.
Yeah.
Like, he's a sweet target for the Advent, and you don't feel as bad if your Advent of the Worm token goes to the wayside.
That's true. You still get a Deuter.
Right. But nine trample is a big game.
Certainly. And you are playing the full 4 of Rootbound Defenses, and you get full value from it most of the time. So that probably feels pretty good. And you are playing Elvish Mystics, so you kind of accelerate in that manner. But this is definitely an interesting list, and I don't know if it's something that we'll see going forward, but I just don't know how, like, I don't know how any green-white list really gets past a lot of the mono-blue lists. I think that's some of the hardest matchups.
The mono-blue lists are rough, and honestly, the mono-black lists are still rough because of so much removal. That's why the Sign of Vita Gaz is probably okay.
Yeah.
I will say that, half the format is trying to counteract against those decks, So there's a lot of assembled decks running around.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Celestial Charm and Advent tokens are really good against 1-1s. So, you know what I mean? You just want to be like, oh, you're going to hide behind your 1-1s?
Yeah. Nah, that makes sense.
You know, it might be... I don't know. I would want to see what the mono blue list, you know, how it works. Because I'm sure you're right. I'm sure it's not a good matchup.
Yeah, I think that's the whole reason why I would want to play something like a base white deck rather than like a base green deck. Just because you have evasion through them. Not saying that like playing white red aggro is a lot easier against playing against mono blue, just because it's not necessarily the case. But you can win with a white based aggro deck by saying brave the elements and get past all your blockers, which is a nice advantage that this list might not have. You do have still have rootbound defenses, so you rootborne defenses, so you can still kind of swing and be like get you, and have them trade. So I think the rootborne defense
sounds kind of unblockable, but it's still there.
It's still like, because you could do the same thing with Boros Charm. Is like you have all these guys. And you would rather get through than have to trade a bunch of them, but oh well. So that is what it is. So one interesting thing, though, one funny thing I forgot to tell you guys about, and I just want to say it on the podcast. So I was playing the White Red Aggro list online, and I played against Mono Blue, and he had a Night Bus Spectre, and he was just getting in with his guy and getting some cards.
Doing what he wants.
And he gets a... Whatchamahabit. He gets a Brave the Elements.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, well...
That's awkward.
Yeah, he may not know how that works, because he had... It was the Mono Blue Splash White list, so he had things like Detention Sphere and things of that nature. So he could cast my spell, so I went into a foreign attack, but I had a Boros Charm, so I was like, I had a Frontline Medic. So all my guys were indestructible, it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to, like, lessen his board state. So, like, he signs these blocks, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And he's blocking a lot more than he was, you know, what I expected.
Right.
I thought it was just going to be, like, a racing situation that I was going to end up losing. So he blanks all these blocks, and then he's like, Brave the Elements, and I'm like, you don't have white guys. Like, your creatures are blue, it doesn't work, read the card.
Yeah.
It was adorable, and then all his creatures straightened, and I
laughed. We had a similar situation at FNF this week.
Really?
The guy who wanted his Zykthos to work differently.
Oh yeah,
this is the best line I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that was the best. Morgan.
So he was playing against one of the local guys, and he was playing out of the mono black deck.
Yeah,
and he had a Night Vale Spectre in play and Underworld Connections, and he got something off of his opponent. It was a Sphinx's Revelation, which is. I think it was Sphinx's Revelation. Whatever, he wanted to cast. It was pretty sweet. And he's like, okay, well, tap my Zykthos, name white. His opponent's okay. Like, okay, you have zero devotion to white. He's like, no, I cast my devotion to other things, so I have five white. And he's like, no, that's not how it works. And we tried to explain it to him, and I tried to explain it to him, and the guy looks at me and goes, well, I want a better ruling. And I'm like...
Yeah, there's stone-based, like, I want a better ruling.
I want a better ruling. I'm just like...
I want a judge.
I'm literally reading the card to you. Do you want the card to say something else? I can't do that.
I can understand the guy's frustration, because he's like, no, I want to be... And I was like, eh.
This is FNM. There's no better ruling.
Because I guess, like... I mean, like, I get intuitively, if you're a new player, you would think that's what just... That land taps for any color, and he's frustrated by that.
Oh, you can still read the card.
I'm trying to get him out of it. No, he's retarded. This is what it is.
Whoa. Hey. Sorry to all the mentally handicapped people that we just offended. Good job.
If someone could go put some flowers on Algernon's grave, I really appreciate it.
Oh, man. Look at you. Making those references. So we're still doing a podcast, guys.
Yeah.
So we'll
I'm going to tank for four. I don't know what you're talking about.
I understand that you are muddling. Are we still doing good?
I got a Reaper of the Wilds out against me. That's pretty rough.
Oh, man. That's pretty bad.
We are going to cast Grey Merchant by this turn.
Oh, sweet. So...
This is round two.
Is that... Yeah. I mean, are we good on the...
I think we're good on the standard open. There wasn't really anything else that happened that was pretty monumental that you guys want to talk about. At least, like, specifically, standard paper magic, any sort of cards that were played. I think there was a GP that was limited.
It was limited, yep.
So it was sealed. There wasn't really any outside events.
How can you talk about that, right? Like, yeah, that guy opened those cards and built that.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it kind of is relevant to us just because, you know, kind of moving into our next topic is we do have a PTQ that's coming up.
Sure.
That is this Saturday. It is sealed, and as those PTQ season is, that ends soon.
December, which is the standard, which I'm excited about.
I mean, yeah. I think we're all excited.
I'd like to play my big Boros deck in PTQ, so I'm excited for it.
Oh yeah, most certainly.
That'd be the first big event for big Boros, right? Well, they open.
Might have been the invitational in the 50K.
Yeah,
in Star City, Cleveland.
So it's actually just.
It's right. Been vetted, okay?
Yeah, no, I for some reason,
I
wasn't...
He's got hair down there, though.
He's a man now.
No, yeah, so, that'd be great.
Mazel tov.
That'd be quite exciting.
So, do you guys have any opinions about, like, the limit? I know, obviously, we're playing limited right now, but sealed and draft are a little bit different. Do you guys have any opinions about, like, the draft format, sealed format, how limited Theros kind of...
I mean, I've been drafting a fair amount and doing pretty well on it. Like, I've been free-rolling for a while now, so...
Yeah, so, fair enough.
It's, I like it a lot. I think, maybe, like, all more twain on you, be like, you know, the quotes of the death of aggro... You know, it was highly exaggerated.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that there's like base white heroic decks that are out everywhere, whether it be blue, you know, red. I mean, it would be white red, or I know white blue is popular because you have the Battleways Hoplite, and you even have things like you have the Battleways Hoplite, which is really powerful two color card.
I mean, the red white aggro decks are real, and the 2/3 Centaur, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. The 2/3 Centaur regenerate that attack each turn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Minotaur.
Yeah, or Minotaur. I'm sorry. I said Centaur.
The Death Rider Minotaur?
Yeah, that one, you can build a deck around a number of those. So, Sealed is obviously going to be slower.
Yeah.
I feel like all the Sealed pools I've seen are fairly deep. They have been fun to try and build because, you know, when you get like M14, you're like, yeah, here's your blue pool. Was it good enough? You're playing some other shitty color. So, there's like, you know what I mean? It's frustrating.
Yeah, and like, there have been groups that we're a part of that have like done a daily sealed pool where they post a picture of a daily pool, and like, people in the group will post builds and stuff like that. And I think that sounds really interesting and pretty good to do if you have a group of people that you test with regularly to get ready for something like this. So, definitely, I mean, there's free random sealed pool generators that are available. Or if you are playing on MTGO, you can take a picture of your sealed pool and be like, how would you build this? This was my build. What do you guys think of this card? You know,
maybe we should do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that we should do.
Do a sealed online and see what people think.
Yeah. 100% agree with that. It's kind of hard to do it before, you know, the actual PTQ goes up, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
But something else that is going on during the PTQ is we do have an invitational qualifier for Star City Games. That's going to be going on later. And I think Jordan and I are probably going to do that because we are not as strong in Limited Magic. But as my showings have happened, I'm not strong in Magic at all. So I don't even know if I should even do anything. But
we're getting floaties for the next tournament.
I know.
It'll be adorable.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on Sealed Limited, which is kind of what...
Like, yeah, I mean, like, I only know what I've seen from other people.
You asked the question, and my first thought was, like, you said, do you have any thoughts? My first answer in my head was no. Like, and that's probably why I should play the IQ.
Right.
When Dave was prepping for the Pro Tour, I drafted, you know, a lot online and a lot of paper just so I could help him, but now I'm just kind of like, I don't know where the meta's at on it.
Yeah.
I do have to draft black and blue-green really well.
That's right, and it's just like, and a Sealed is completely different, because, like, I feel like I know a lot more about draft and like where your draft is at because I see more of that. I don't really see many seals. But so for the IQ, are you still going to stick with Esper for the time being?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of cards to the other departments. So that and like I'm going to kind of take the like our buddy Elliot Mork route, and I'm just going to kind of grind Esper all the way home for better or for worse or.
But it's also kind of interesting.
For better, for worse, or...
You kind of...
It's a wonder you're not married, man.
I have an interesting...
No, it's not.
Because you also have, you know, all the cards that you would need for blue-white anyway.
Yeah.
Right, still.
Yeah.
So even if that were just something like a meta call that you wanted to make, you can still do that, too. So that's kind of a nice thing.
I like Cassidy Blood Baron of Azagoba.
Yeah.
It's a good card. Which is going to be available.
I would definitely like to play that.
Actually.
Certainly. Actually, I would just need my dragons back. I think I have everything else.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, so I can just borrow dragons and play that deck? Okay, Morgan, I need to borrow dragons.
No. Mike's going to tell me how to play that deck, so I don't fuck it up. But I'm still going to fuck it up, so it doesn't matter. But I think that's what I would like to play. I would like to play Mike's Big Boros build. Or as I've dubbed it, Big Tears Boros.
Big Tears Boros. I like it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It's a little sad.
It's a little sad, but it's fine.
Wait, it's Big Sad.
Oh, no.
Big tears cry.
So, okay. But yeah, I think that's kind of interesting. I'm really glad that we do have a standard option that's just not like the random winner boxes that might fire at a typical PTQ that we actually have.
Yeah, big, definitely.
You know, somewhat big. These invitation qualifiers do have cash payouts for top place and still pretty good, decent pay and price payouts.
An invite.
Which is
relevant.
Yeah, I think 100%.
Definitely.
Because we have people in this room that want money from such invitationals.
Who?
The time. Like, Saturday, I get to sleep in. I don't want to wake up at 7 to go downtown.
It's true.
Like, I would rather get up around like 11, go to the World Market, or the North Market, excuse me.
Oh, man.
Get some pizza. You want to get some pizza?
I think that we can do this.
We got some pizza last time.
I think this is achievable.
Yeah.
So you got to go see your friend that was there?
Your horse?
His name wasn't Horace.
It wasn't, but he was horse Polish.
We don't know his real name because we're ignorant Americans.
I think he's just insensitive. Period. We just forgot a man's name.
It's all right. We'll remember it and we'll go see.
Yeah, we'll go find out. If you guys
we'll buy anything from him. So
it was like, garbage. Hey. But Horace was a nice fellow.
No, that's not true. I don't know. I didn't eat anything from there.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
he'll never listen to this. It's fine.
Yeah, Morgan's like, God, I'm sure the food was great, even though I never spent my money on it.
Come on, don't be a hater.
So, and then we still get to go to Barley's afterwards.
Yeah, so it'll be great. Yeah, no, but you know what? There was a PTQ on Sunday.
Okay,
for the whole world.
So let's kind of get into this.
We have to go somewhere else first here. Oh, honor. We have to go to Saturday first before we get to Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're listening to this, then you know what Magic is. And if you know what Magic is, you probably have already heard about this controversy.
And if you don't know what Magic is,
What are you doing here? What are you doing?
How'd you find this?
Mom, stop listening to my podcast.
Stop clicking dirty links, okay?
How did you find this? Stop Googling me. I don't like it.
Anyway, yeah. So you know what Magic is.
And then correct. So you know what? You've probably already heard about this.
Yeah.
And I heard that you know, there's going to be a lot of... Yeah, I've already said there's going to be a lot of, you know, Magic sites talking about this. There already are. But Modo was just shit the entire weekend. There were two large profile tournaments that happened this weekend. There was MOX, which is the Magic Online Championship Series, which has real-life tangible payouts. And there was also a PTQ. And the Moto PTQs are, you know, lovingly dubbed Moto GP PTQs because they're giants.
They're
11 rounds of Magic. And, you know, again, real-life tangible payout of being able to go to the Pro Tour. So both those tournaments crashed and wiped everything out, and both of them, I believe, had to be rescheduled, correct? So
the best part is the MOCS is rescheduled for Saturday,
which is GPDC.
Yes.
So we have this you know, program that people use for not only, you know, testing as we do and you know, making content, but also for trying to get real things. And it just failed, and it devalues, you know, this happened to, the main sort of figurehead of this is Brian Kibler. Kibler was actually playing in MOX on Saturday, and he was, 7-0?
Yep.
Pretty much locked for top 8.
He was locked for top 8.
Yeah, a lock for top 8.
And, like, with Moto, it's a little bit hard, just because you can't, like, ID or anything like that. But he, you know, would definitely, even if he lost two more, like, he's still going to get there. And then his you know, he got kicked out of the program. He tried to restart and couldn't log back in, and then he got kicked from the tournament due to not showing up. And a lot of people had this happen to them, both in Magic Online Championship Series and as in the PTQ. And this is a serious issue. I mean, this is not something that's new. I follow a lot of Twitter people that do play Moto professionally. And they grind it to take it, like, set redemptions and stuff like that. To actually make money from it. And, you know, this has... They constantly complain about it. They know that the large events, whether it be a PTQ, an online championship series, or anything like that, they have crashed before. This is not the first time the Magic Online... The MOX has crashed. This is, like, the fourth time that this has happened. And it's not something that's going to be fixed with the new client, as Mike pointed out to us. You know, the new client is simply a overhaul, an interface change, if you will, And you know how well that's being received by a lot of people. But
two-thirds about your Insta.
True. I don't know why my gaming computer can't run it properly. I don't understand that. But I'm no software engineer. But clearly no one else there is at Wizards.
Wow. You know what? I like that. You know, Morgan won. Morgan won that Aaron stuff today.
Yes.
That was nice. Clearly no one. Well done.
I try. Guys, what do you think about this? I know if you haven't seen on the website, Mike did write an article about it. I do encourage you to check it out. It does have some awesome, you know, pictures of the actual tweets that were sent out and everything like that. So
we're so hippie. We're like, we put pictures on the website.
We put pictures
of a quote.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's like we live in the 21st century, guys. So Mike, kind of give us your opinions about this. I introduced it.
One thing I do want to point out, and this has been thrown around, Ruben Bresler pointed this out a while ago. I myself wanted to harass Todd Anderson about losing it over a PTQ that crashed, and it's been mentioned that it's only because Kibler is now complaining about it. And I don't think that's true. I think it's because the complaint is different. Like, obviously, anyone else who's had an issue with things crashing is valid. It doesn't matter if you're Brian Kibler, Todd Anderson, or us sitting around the table right now. Kibler hit it on the head, though, because, they're just like, oh, we're sorry this happened, we'll reschedule it for next week. But if you were playing in this event, then you had already set aside, round 7, not to mention the amount of time, in between everything. You're talking at least 7-8 hours of your day.
I think he said it was like nine hours
out of his day to play this event that doesn't even get to finish. I don't think people understand how that would work. Like, we're in Star City, right? We go to Star City, Columbus. We're on round 8, and Star City just goes, "Oh, tournament's ruined."
See ya.
And that's it. Like, that happened. And they just tell people to go home. But don't worry, come back Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. And people are like, "Well, we have to work." And it's like, "Well, that's not my fault. You should have realized we were going to screw up."
Right, that's actually a great analogy. He's like, come back Wednesday, I have a job. Well, we don't, so...
this is our job, conveniently enough, so we'll be here.
Yeah, and everybody that takes him too, I totally hear his complaints. Some people on Twitter were, Ruben Russell was poking fun at him a little bit,
Right.
Ricky Hayashi was saying, I'm going to unfollow him until this problem is solved, until he's done tweeting about it. I can't necessarily blame Ricky for that, but at the same time, he is not off grounds with complaining about this. And you get a foil scrublands and 10 packs. I think is what he said his compensation was.
6 packs or something like that.
Yeah, so not even that's not worth 9 hours of time.
No, not at all. And the crux of Kibler's argument is he's not saying fix this or this is terrible
or else.
Right, he's saying that hey, if you guys aren't going to fix this, then don't make tangible rewards.
Well, that was Paul Reitzel. Paul Reitzel's the one who specifically said you can't, it's actually negligible to tie real life rewards. I mean, you essentially, we had a guy, one of our friends we talked about before who, accidentally top eighted a PTQ, right? Because and he was going to play the top 8, but how valid would how valid would that be? You know what I mean? And they talked about this during they already talked about it during the World Championship this year because they had the poor guy from, I think it was from Russia, who started off the tournament 0-6 because he was just totally outclassed by all these pros, but he won the MOCS. And now you're going to take that fact and let somebody possibly glitch into the MOCS. Oops.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly.
This guy could show up at the World Championship.
To be fair, next weekend they're going to run this again. Okay? And one of the best players in the tournament will not be in it.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. He was X and O. His deck choice was amazing. He will not be in the tournament because of this. There is already that's very frustrating.
Your odds are already instantly better because you won't have to, fight against one of the best players. Someone who was going to be in top 8.
Very true.
And most players aren't going to be, right?
Because I mean, there are a lot of people that are not going to be attending the mocks again, just because of this happening until it gets fixed. And like I said, hey, I'm not a software engineer, I'm not a computer engineer, but it feels like if you have this large player base that wants to play in these large tournaments, you think that you'd want to do a little bit more to support them,
I'm being sarcastic. Yeah, we're being sarcastic, obviously, but as a business, people are paying for this product regardless, which obviously you go down a whole other rabbit trail, do you boycott Moto? But, like, Moto is still making money. Hasbro is still going to make money regardless of this product is garbage.
I agree.
You know, like, I played 8-man today.
Like, I mean, we're drafting right now, right?
Right. Yeah.
We're part of the
problem. Yeah, my opponent did DC for a while, so that,
yeah, I mean, that's
that
true.
In and of itself is
I think that it's probably fair that I would say that if you want to do anything, that I would not support any large events on Moto. Like, just I would just stop playing those ones that could potentially crash, and then if you don't play in it, then actually it'll be more stable. So there you go. Maybe then it'll be fine. It's a very secular argument, because then you should play again, right? Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, there's no real way. Like, people use this for vital things. They use it to test their decks, to play real life paper Magic.
It's some people's jobs. I mean, streaming is how they make their money. I mean, it's just,
that's very true. It's very hard to be like, hey, don't make money.
I mean,
don't do what you do.
Like, I'll just pull a Jordan and stream Cockatrice.
Yeah.
people like that video. So people in
also on at your nstep.com.
Thank you. On Michael Jacobs' stream today, some people said, so how do you feel about making your living to the most unstable program ever? And he goes, well, I grind dailies.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I make my living off of Momir. Like, played it poorly, albeit. But, yeah, so that's a little bit different.
How do you play Momir with skill?
He said he played it poorly. There's a couple, you can
do
play,
like, do you, like, that? Like, touch your computer in a special way? So it's like, come on, baby. Give me that.
When you do, when you make your first creature, and when you stop making creatures, and when you skip.
I know. I understand.
It's a hard time.
What?
No, it's primarily luck-based format, but he made some bad blocks today. So, yeah.
So it was limited.
Yeah. No, Momir.
Let's see what you did there.
Yeah, so I really struggle with the idea of tying it to a real-life event. Now, 6 months ago, you would have asked me this, I would have said, oh, man, like, Moto should have Planeswalker points. Because I really want Planeswalker points, but now that I, like, play in events, I'm like, oh, no, like, Moto is, program is garbage.
It's not the ideal, and I know that they're trying to, you know, fix the front end, fix how it looks, fix her face, but they need to fix her soul. Let's be fair; they need to fix the back end, the infrastructure that the program is running on and using. I mean, there are plenty of online games. That's a huge market these days,
right?
Whether it be things like League of Legends or massively multiplayer games like, you know, World of Warcraft, or even things like online shooters. That requires stable internet connections, and we will definitely concede the fact that these programs, regardless of how stable, how big of an infrastructure they have, they do go down.
No, they will fail. And we were actually talking about this today. For those of you who played old school WoW raids, we're talking about, you know, you know, wiping on Ragnaros, you know what I mean? But there. It doesn't happen as often as this.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You didn't wipe on a raid, which is a large
Ragnaros
dungeon.
Ragnaros was the final boss of the first 40-man raid in Warcraft. Yes, they used to raid with 40 people.
It's amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, all you Burning Crusade kids.
Yeah. So, but I don't lose $20 because that happened.
You don't lose $20, and then even, like, you could put in a ticket, like a request form, and sometimes they would give you the gear back.
Yeah.
Like, if you could prove that you killed the boss with screenshots and stuff, they would give you your gear. Like, whereas with this, like, this almost feels like a big sham to me, right? Because how much does it cost Wizards to make Moto product? $0.00, okay?
Well, I mean, there has to be some level of cost. It can't just, like, completely...
Well, you should mess up the market, I guess.
Yeah.
But essentially $0 of actual production to make product. But $40 is the entry fee per person. And a $700 PTQ, like I was telling you guys earlier, four of these PTQs a season, and you pay for every one of the PTQ's flight. Every one of the PT's flight. Like,
sure.
You have flat paid for your flight expenses for all Pro Tour competitors. And then in an event system like this where they have to refund people, they're not actually losing any money. So, like, these crashes and things like that only actually just add value to Wizards.
We lost a game.
And it's kind of nuts. Oh, we lost a game? That's sad.
Yeah.
But these crashes feel scammy to me because it's Wizards essentially just making money. They gave away
I suppose.
They're giving away digital product. They're like... It's like picking up a dandelion and blowing
up. Literally, there is zero overhead to making a Moto pack.
But, I mean, like, you have to think about it this way. There's, I mean, it's shitty to say this, but, I mean, they still have to pay for the servers they do have. I mean, they still have to pay for the development of the new software. Like, the people, they have salaries of people that do work on this project. They have to pay. So they can't just be like, But
those are costs that are already associated with running the program anyway. So, like, canceling a PTQ and then doing another one isn't actually more money. It's just extra dollars for them because they're going to pay those people the same rate anyway.
I guess, but I mean, like, you have to take a look at it that Wizards makes money by people buying tickets and take people that always buy tickets from Wizards directly. Because you can buy
all tickets originate from Wizards.
Correct.
So
it doesn't mean like every time every time someone buys a ticket, like that's a new ticket that they just generated. Like
no, okay, so sure, it
recycles.
Sure. Fair enough. I hear what you're saying there. I still think that
I'm just saying that there's definite cost.
They're not making a straight $12,000 off this thing.
No, it's not just a pure profit investment. It's really it can't be.
No, but there's not the loss that should be intrinsic with running this event. Like to propose Mike's analogy to Paper Magic, if we're at Star City and they're like, hey, we're shutting down the tournament, here's 10 packs. I'm like, no, you owe me $40. Here's your deck box back.
You know, sure.
Like that's kind of how I feel about it. I don't even know if I can get the deck box back. Like, because my deck's in it, but. Like I struggle with the idea of Wizards just being able to be like, ah, here's 10 packs and a foil card that cost us nothing to make. Bring us more ticks, you know?
Because yeah, I mean, like the market you still get. I mean, 10 packs is still what roughly equivalent to your entry fee, so like around $30.
It's a little more than 30. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's roughly equivalent to the entry fee, but they're still sucking ticks out of the market by that because then you're going to turn those packs around, sell for ticks, turn the ticks into Moto. So they're still sucking product from the market, making the tick value go higher, so that they could just people will buy ticks from the store at a dollar, which is cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely understand that.
Dude, they can mess up. I guess I'm like preventing a scam. They can greatly influence the Moto economy by these crashes. And maybe they don't do that intentionally, but that is a consequence.
I can see that. Yeah. Most certainly. You're introducing a lot of packs into the environment that wouldn't
as opposed to ticks. Yeah, so you're going to jack up the prices of ticks, or lower the prices of packs,
yeah.
Which screws everybody else over, which makes you have to buy more ticks from Wizards, which increases Wizards' overall bottom line. So it's an interesting scenario.
Yeah, but I don't think it's something that's intentional, because the bad PR that they're getting from this is, I don't think it's at all worth it.
No,
for sure, it's probably not. I mean, we wanted to devote three quarters of our podcast today to complain about this. Or, I mean, I wrote a little blog post about it for just the sheer sake of, like, it angered me. Like, I don't know. I don't like having my time pissed on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that. And, like, just the way that they, like, it's so, it blows my mind. Because, so you're in a real-life paper tournament, and there's a program called Event Reporter, Wizards Event Reporter, and that's how they keep track of the tournament. If that crashes, you can still recreate that tournament inside of Wizards Event Reporter, and you just have to do it manually, which isn't fun if it's a large tournament, but you can, the tournament still goes on. But there is no save state on Moto. Like, if your tournament crashes, they cannot recreate it.
Right.
But everything else, you can do that. You know, if you have a character on World of Warcraft and everything gets stolen, they can restore you back to a certain save state that they have from you on the server. Why can't we do that with a tournament? Why is there no one tracking this? Like, we live in a century that has all these things called computers, and they have, you know, nearly infinite storage space that we can do this. We can do this. Just put the money into it. We've given you enough of ours. Like, give us something that we want.
Right.
But it's always going to be like, well, people are still using it. People are still, like, doing this. So why do it? And
that's
I think that's probably going to be their main argument. But I think that hopefully people can put their foot down. And maybe if they get, like, a really low attendance in mocks or something like that. Like, I think that could make an impact. Like, if you're going to piss on my time, then I'm not
going to. No, for sure.
I'll never do a Moto PTQ. I'll never do a mocks. I mean, if I get enough points, I might as well do the mocks. But, like, I might as well go foil Scrublands, am I right?
The program crashes, why not?
That's even the thing, is that that's not even going to be that great of a compensation. That sounds sick in your head, like foil dual land, but then, like, however many hundred people have that?
Yeah, but like, it's still, like, 25 to 36. Like, you basically get, with the packs, you get your entry fee back, and then you get a little bit of profit. But you already explained that even that just still affects the marketplace.
Because
now there's a whole lot of foil Scrublands that wouldn't have necessarily existed.
Yeah.
And then even when people go back into Mox 2 Electric Boogaloo, they're still going to get more packs and they're going to get more Scrublands, right? Like,
yeah,
that price payout still continues on, I assume.
I assume, yeah.
On and on.
So now you're essentially affecting the market more with, you know, having this foil dual land that there's more than should be.
Yes.
So, but I mean, it's a shame that the program that we care about as players, you know, doesn't work, and it's such a good tool because it should just work, and we should be able to use it to enrich the way that we play the game and like make us hopefully make us better at the game just by, you know, being able to play it more. And then when things like this happen and we don't have a reliable tool as a player, it really makes the game look bad.
It really does.
I think Wizards, so let's propose alternatives. Like, I really don't like being negative for the sake of negativity's sake, so let's propose alternatives.
So, I mean, the easiest alternative for Wizards, which is still going to get like a ton of backlash, would be like, hey, we're not going to have, you know, changeable rewards. Like, you know, that's something that they could do. And then it would not, like, people would be like, oh, I can't easily PTQ. I can't PTQ in my boxers anymore.
Oh, no.
I don't have mocks. Like, I can understand people still being upset with that, so it's not like it's a winning.
Oh, you're just proposing the extension to paper magic. Oh gosh, I thought you were saying like no more ticks or things like that.
Oh no. Just no more PTQ invites.
Okay, so no paper more, online connection.
No more invitation to like
100% agree.
The championship they have.
100% agree.
Yeah, so like why? No more of that. Right. Like if they just did that and just like, hey, if something crashes, you know, you only put digital in, you'd only get digital out, you only put digital in, we'll just compensate you digitally and that's
digital
that's
in,
it.
Digital out.
Right.
I mean exactly. Digital in.
Yeah. I like digital. The idea of, I mean, you could have a Magic Online world champion. You know, like I struggle with this a lot because, like, your favorite player, Reed Duke, made his name on online Magic. He made the scene as Reader Rabbit and then got an extension, you know, I think to a Pro Tour via Moto. And then once he's.
I'm not quite sure what happened, but I mean, yes.
He made his name on Moto.
Sure, just like Brad Nelson did, just like a lot of people actually.
And that extension carried over to paper.
Yeah.
So you lose a little bit of that. But there's people who came from under leagues in baseball and football and made their name big in the NFL, and there's no connection. You know, like, think historically baseball, like Jackie Robinson came from the Negro Leagues, right? That could be a similar story. It'd be hard, and it's not easy to do. And I'm not proposing that Magic Online is the Negro Leagues of baseball. By any means.
I'm sorry to everyone who plays Magic Online that was easily offended.
Yeah. Underfunded and mildly offensive. I think the connection is inappropriate, especially given the current state of Magic Online.
I think that you can do it if it's reliable and you don't waste people's time. Yeah. I think that's the biggest offense, is that you wasted a bunch of people's time. And no one likes having their time wasted.
No, it's, yeah.
I invested into this and you just shat on me. And I don't like that. So it makes me more wary in investing any more time into those big events. If it's, I'd rather just go and play paper magic and hang out with my friends.
That's far better. At this point, I have no reason to do so, possibly ever. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, why would you?
I don't know. Mike, do you have any do you have any potential alternatives that they can kind of look into? I mean.
Alternatives. The problem is that they, you know, 10 years ago, they were a leading like design initiative, essentially. Like, oh man, look at this! Like, this is a cool thing that no one else does. And now, you know what I mean? Ugh. You know what it,
right.
It's I don't know. I mean, the easy thing to say is just like fix it. I mean, that sounds.
I agree.
Buy server space. You are backed by the largest game manufacturer in North America. Buy server space.
Have a backup plan for when this happens. Like, seriously, why is it like a guy in, you know, Asia can hack into WoW account, steal all their stuff, like sell all their stuff, delete the character, everything, and Wizards can have that character's items and everything back within 12 hours?
Blizzard. Don't you say bad?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like in a game like that with many more players, honestly, at you know, with a specific, you know.
At a specific time, yeah.
And then this game was all logged by numbers anyways. You can find exact event numbers, game numbers, everything. Like, how is that not, like, backlogged and restorable? Like, it's just...
I don't know. I don't get it.
Seems doable.
Saying.
But
It does seem highly doable. It's just that someone has to be there to do it. and hopefully that'll happen. I really believe this is a wake-up call, and I really hope that there is some change that does come from it. I mean, we're just commentators. It's not like, you know, we can really say what is or what isn't going to happen unless one of us really wants to go back to school, get a computer degree, and then go work at Wizards.
Well, have we heard anything about it? Has Wizards said anything about their plans?
No.
They've just been
radio silence, right?
They just apologized. But in all honesty, like, seriously, just like anybody who's been in a bad relationship, right? Like, sorry doesn't mean anything if you keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right. I mean, and that's the thing, is that from a business venture, Hasbro, Wizards, whoever you want to look at this scenario, actually has no business reason to fix this. We're still moto drafting. People still played in the PTQ after the mocks of it.
Are we still moto drafting, by the way?
Yeah, my opponent's complaining about he thinks he underestimates black cards, and I was like, I think it's the best color of Theros, like, in draft. And he's like, everything's overcosted. I don't know. Well, you're losing, so.
Yeah, possibility, bro. But, I think that's just, it's too good of a business model for them to care. I mean, I think the government is the premier example of, like, hey, we're still in office, so we're not going to change anything. And same thing with Wizards and Hasbro. Hey, we're still the best gaming company in the world. I'm not going to change anything.
No, and I can definitely see that point. I hope that hopefully... that's a lot of hope. Sorry, guys. I really want them when we have to go over to the new client, which I don't want to do, but when we have to go over to the new client, I want them to really invest some money into both the front end, which they are clearly doing, and maybe that's just where their attention is, and then kind of invest in the back end, especially if you're going to have a bigger, bulkier client that is not as, you know, a lightweight, comparatively speaking, to version 3 than version 4 is. Version 4 has... Some things in it that are bigger than, you know, what version 3 has. I don't know if that necessarily affects the data that's being transmitted between the server and you.
I don't think so.
It may not.
Most of that would be local. Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows? Who knows what kind of back-end infrastructure they're actually working in? They could be changing a lot of the net code and stuff like that.
Remember when WoW, when you would know what parts of an instance were local and what parts of an instance were server-side? Yeah.
So,
sorry, flashback.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I hope that they gotta fix it. It just doesn't. It feels really terrible for it to happen and people lose time like that just because it's not something that would ever happen in paper magic. And it's something that's pretty. It's relatively unique to Magic Online. Like, there's no other. I don't think of any other game that you could play online that's just like, yeah. You just lost all your time and stuff. So
also, we talked about it today in WoW. It's like you're on the last boss of a raid. In server crash, or you wipe, right? And then they're like, oh, you're going to go back to the first raid in the entire progression.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That
like,
doesn't happen.
Oh, and so. You lost all of your...
all your gear.
All your gears.
Yeah.
And
we're
just
giving you some gold, and we're sorry.
Favorite quote of the entire draft. It just felt like these games that you were playing, I don't know, subpar cards and kicking my ass. LOL. I don't know what subpar cards he's talking about, but...
I don't know.
We drafted
a good deck, guys. We drafted a good deck. But I think that's a good note to end on. I mean, prepare for at least this week. Probably a lot of people griping about Moto. It'll be interesting if Wizards actually post anything about it. Most of the Moto stuff is actually hidden on, like, the Moto page where all the deck lists are. It's, like, a secret. Like, you gotta go
don't
in there.
Look at us.
It says do not join on Moto lists on Moto.
Like, well, that's when they're going to shut down for, like, server maintenance and stuff like that.
Dude, it's been a bug for, like, 6 months.
Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? They need to get shit fixed. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, a lot of people are going to talk about it. Like I said, if you want to check it out, definitely go to our website. That's at yourinstep.com. Mike does have an article about it if you want to read more. I know we talked about it a lot, so I don't know if we're going to want to read more. But Mike's a good writer, so you should probably do that. Jordan has content up. I haven't done anything, guys. I'm really sorry.
I don't think he's formatted his page yet. It's
yeah. This is a real thing.
Hey, guys, I suck your writing, so yeah. Bye. That's what Morgan's vlog is.
Yeah,
I mean that's roughly what it is. I don't my schedule's kind of weird, and it's going to continue to be weird. So eventually, I'll create some content.
Don't you edit the podcast at work?
I do.
So what do you mean you don't have time to do things?
I don't have time to play Magic at work or write articles at work.
I do have to work at work,
and this takes like not that long, guys. I don't do a whole lot. I don't want to ruin the magic for you folks at home. I don't
see what you did there.
Wow. Also, all of our Twitter stuff's on there, so if you want to follow the podcast or follow us personally, we definitely usually follow back if we can, unless you're weird, and then we don't.
We'd like to apologize to all our people who we don't follow. We gotta go now follow back literally every person.
I follow back most people. And then...
I don't, by the way, and that's not to be rude. I actually just follow you on the team account. I just use my personal...
It's either or. Both of... Yeah. Well, usually we have
I see your tweet.
Are we really apologizing this?
No.
Like, well, he set me up weird, so...
No, I said it. I'm just kidding. I try to follow most people that follow me. Or at least follow them on the show account. Regardless, it doesn't matter. It's fucking Twitter. Who gives a shit?
And we're in the finals.
Awesome. So, we are in the finals of H4, so we're going to finish that up. Not in the podcast, but wish you luck. We'll definitely see you next week, and thanks for